welcome to worship tonight. My name is Eric Holland. I'm the pastor here at Holden. And on Monday nights during the summer, we invite someone to preach on some facet of our summer theme. We have this treasure from 2 Corinthians. And preaching, leading us in worship tonight is Julia Fogg, who's here on teaching staff for the week, teaching Bible study. We begin with a hymn. It's number 611 in your ELW, right here, number 611. I heard the voice of Jesus say,
please be seated. Our reading this evening is from the second book of Corinthians, the second letter to the Corinthians, chapter 4, verses 1 through 10. Since it is by God's mercy that we are engaged in this ministry, we do not lose heart. We have renounced the shameful things that one hides. We refuse to practice cunning or to falsify God's word. But by the open statement of the truth, we commend ourselves to the conscience of everyone in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, it is veiled to those who are perishing. In their case, the God of this world has blinded the minds of the unbelievers to keep them from seeing the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. For we do not proclaim ourselves. We proclaim Jesus Christ as Lord and ourselves as your slaves for Jesus' sake. For it is the God who said, "Let light shine out of the darkness," who has shown in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in clay jars, so that it is made clear that this extraordinary power belongs to God and does not come from us. We are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be made visible in our bodies. This is the word of the Lord. Good evening. This is my first time in Holden, and I have been here for about 2 days, 7 hours, and 39 minutes. Last time I checked my watch. Tonight I am charged with speaking a word on the theme text for this summer, as Eric mentioned. A treasure in earthen vessels, and you have the verses in front of you so you can see if I'm doing a good job or not. A treasure in earthen vessels. Although I must say, I feel a little bit more like a cracked pot since I don't know so many of you. I'm a little bit nervous. And it's also nerve-wracking to speak on a passage that Holden staff have been listening to for how many weeks now? That you have been living with these verses for almost a year, I imagine, in your planning and in your summer programming. And then I also have the task of bringing some insight to those of us who have just arrived or are just here for this week. Are any of my cracks showing yet? All right, well, this may seem a little random, but I'd like to tell you about a library in New Haven, Connecticut. Not only does this library have a very cool name, Beinecke, it also has very cool books inside, like an original Gutenberg Bible from one of the first movable printing presses. And this is standing on display on the second floor, and you can get up right close to it and press your face against the glass and gaze at those words that Luther was so close to. The Beinecke Library is home to about 500,000 rare books, some millions of ancient and antique manuscripts. Beinecke rises about 3 floors above the ground, maybe 4 to 6 floors underground. I haven't counted that far. The exterior of the library is made entirely of Vermont marble and granite, and then there are some other metals and things in play in the building. It was begun in 1960 and then completed in 1963. But my favorite thing about this library is that it has no windows. It has been designed instead with a translucent marble skin, if you can imagine that. The entire building, then, is one giant window, a marble window. And inside, then, is the treasure of the Beinecke rare books and manuscripts. So the question is, how do you make a giant window building with translucent skin out of marble? Well, the trick is you cut the marble in very thin slices. 1 1/4 inches, to be exact. That's how the thickness of these panels, then, that are held in place by a granite frame. And it looks a little bit like a honeycomb. It's very funky. Check it out on the web. They do have pictures. I double-checked today. Now, the way this works is that marble absorbs into a couple millimeters thick. I know I'm switching from inches to millimeters, but that's what they told me. So it absorbs a few millimeters into its depth, the rays, and then starts refracting. So the characteristic of this marble is that it allows light through, not what you thought about a rock. The soft glow comes through, yet the UVB and UVA rays are kept outside, those skin-damaging, horrible things that, well, you can see. It's very, very bad for my skin and very bad for your skin. And you should wear a protector. Protection and water. This is what they tell me here. Okay, so back to the rays. The soft glow comes through and does not destroy any of the manuscripts. They control the light then and keep safe all of those ancient books. Well, marble has a few other properties besides being translucent when sliced to 1 1/4 inches. First, marble has to be quarried in just the right way or it will break and crack. I'm just getting back from Turkey, I teach at CLU, Cal Lutheran University, outside of LA. I have students here, so it's very nice. They've been showing me around. In Turkey, you can see these quarries where they've been working with giant stones, and they're still there in the quarry. Well, why? Because they broke as they were working on them. So 2,000 years ago, some quarry person broke the stone of this giant pillar to be, and they just left it in the quarry because once it's cracked, no longer usable for what they had imagined for. Now, that's not a quarter, 1 1/4 inches thick. That's, you know, huge redwood size marble pillars. So it is possible to crack this stuff, even if it's very thick. And the other thing I learned, not immediately understandable to my brain, is that marble can burn and be reduced to a fine powder. We were learning about nanoscience today, and when you grind things into a powder, then they have a lot more surface area, so that's very exciting in nanoscience, but it doesn't help you much when your temple has been crushed around you by the fire. So it burns, and it can be destroyed by cracks. Now notice that the material in Beinecke since the 1963 has been sliced so thinly that it is both vulnerable and light-giving, much like the earthen vessels that Paul is talking about in his second letter to the Corinthians. What is striking about this library is that the designer had to balance the qualities of the marble, the easily destroyed parts of it with the translucent qualities that you could get if you slice it just the right way and it still hangs together. Isn't this the way our human lives work? That we are just fragile enough that we can be broken easily, but just flexible enough that we can heal together and allow growth to come from that vulnerability and flexibility? The more vulnerable we allow ourselves to be, the greater the light of Christ that shines through us. The more fragile we are, the weaker our strength, the more God's power and glory can come through. Paul writes, "We are afflicted, but not crushed, perplexed, but not despairing, persecuted, but not forsaken. We are struck down, felled, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body, this body, your bodies, the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus, the resurrection, the healing, the ministry, may also be present and visible in our bodies. From the time we are born, we are dying. Our thinly sliced marble becomes vulnerable to decay, fire, or pounding. Our jars receive cracks. But for Paul, when we are our most vulnerable, when we are our most transparent, we are also our most translucent, conductors of light. And Christ's light pours through the cracks and the scars and the bruising, through the powder even, through all those surfaces in our jars, in our marble. Paul encourages us to rejoice in our weaknesses of body, the fragility of human life that is at once a participation in Christ's death. Paul invites us to become transparent with one another so as to be translucent. So much of our lives, our actions, some things we can be ashamed of, parts of ourselves that we hide or protect, the defenses we put up, the secrets we push deeper, or the truths that we don't let anyone know. Paul reminds us to reject cunning, to renounce the hidden shames, to openly speak the truth about ourselves to others, to live ourselves unveiled so all can see the light of the good news of Christ's glory. Here at Holden, you may lay down your defenses. You may loosen the veil that hides the cracks, that covers the scars. Here we affirm that God is the one who calls light from darkness, who creates us fragile like clay, translucent like marble. For it is through our fragility and allowing ourselves to be vulnerable with one another that Christ's light and power can shine through. And when it shines through to all, a soft glow that illuminates the treasure inside. Amen. Let us stand and sing together hymn number 726 in your red book. 726. From this place to be God's people in the world, God's earthen vessels. May Christ's light and power and glory shine through you all to all the world. Amen.
Amen.
Go in peace and share the light.
Amen.